would. So, Lipnitz. Is that anything you want to tell us? There's a few things we discussed last week a lot about.
There's probably not a lot of news since I talked to Shane about that, because then I wasn't able to write minutes last week, and Peter and Travis went to Kiev, and I was able to bring everyone up to date. There are a couple of things that we sort of saw as things that LibMesh should have. We're parallelizing the mesh, so at the moment mesh is read in on one process and then copied to all the other processes. And for years they've been talking about making sure that's more distributed, or completely distributed. And they've sort of got plans on how to be done and all of that. But the guy who started the code has sort of said a year ago, I think it's top of my priority list now. So it's obviously something they want done, but it's just a matter of resources and where it is on the priority list. And the other thing we were concerned about was the lack of a test suite. And they've also talked about that and sort of there were some finger pointing to try and get other people to do it, but nobody really got stepping forward to volunteer to do it. So there's two things that they'd welcome contributions from anybody to implement those, but they may not be implementing them for us in the near future.
So you've sent them an email now saying that we're interested in building on the topic?
Yeah, I have. Not on those topics. There was enough discussion already on that. I was talking more about how they, at the moment, they have a pretty general, the dependent variables can be described by any number of different interpolation or satisfaction types. But the geometry is currently set up so that it's always a Lagrange interpolation, and so I was talking to them about what would be involved in generalising that, and there was only really one person involved in the discussion. He's someone who's joined LibMesh in the last couple of years, and he added the Hamid finite elements to that, and so it's probably the person who knows about how it would be to actually add Hamid geometries to it.
I think we had Hamid.
Yeah, so this is our misunderstanding of the what him having added Hamid already meant.
So you can have Hamid dependent variables at the moment, but you can't have Hamid geometries.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, in our world, it's different.
I think that's pretty common in that.
But I was going to say, it's called, I mean, CM's like that. It treats your fields as different from geometry, which is great. Well, it does. It stores them in
different arrays.
They're identical arrays, essentially.
Sure. But why are they. Yeah, most of the functionality is the same. Yeah, why are they different?
There's no real. We move dependent variable fields between geometric fields. Backwards and forwards. There's the same structures to support them.
Sure, and that's true, but there's no need to have them at all.
No, I agree. If you could merge some arrays, it would be a rather easy thing to do.
But it's probably derived from us solving different types of problems, where they're actually doing a lot of fluid flow problems, where they have no interest in having a high-order representation of the internals of your geometry, and it just wastes memory. But they acknowledge and they see it in problems like mechanics or fitting, and it's an appropriate thing to do.
Yeah.
And so he was really keen that someone else was interested in adding functionality to it. Probably discuss some issues that would come up, but didn't really give me pointers as to exactly how to do it. I don't know if it's a priority for us now. Probably I'd start with actually getting the problems working, and then we can look at different geometries later.
So where are you at in terms of getting this CMS system set up on?
What do you mean by CMS?
Well, in other words, if we're developing code that's using this library that we want to share among this group and then possibly at some point back into the library, I thought we talked about sort of setting up a CMS content management system structure to.
I don't think we went into any details. Probably what I'd have in mind is if we. Well, I think I proposed two possible options. One is if we're only making small changes, then we'll just keep them as a set of patches that can be applied to their version of the code. And the other way of doing it is head on repository and import their version in at various stages, and we can build on that and then offer it back at appropriate times. At the moment, we're not intending to be making big changes right now, so I'd rather actually start doing some things to use the library rather than think about setting it up right now.
So then we do have to record our own stuff that uses the library as well somewhere, and I think the way of doing that is making examples again. So we've got our example tree structure for doing that, and if we make examples, in that example you can put all of the code that uses LibMesh to do a particular problem. We've got a good record.
As we do that, we might find that there are things in common with our various examples and to think of ways to have like our own library functionalities or something like that. But probably the first stage is
so you're setting up examples now that are existing CMS examples that you can just run under the mesh.
That's what we're planning to do, we haven't started yet.
And what about the SoML side?
I haven't talked to Andrea about that yet, but I'm assuming we're going to use similar methods to what we used to have.
So I just think we need a fairly aggressive plan now, and that we can, a list of targets and an indication of where we're up to on each of these targets.
Okay. Probably see the first target sort of adjusting the example just to sort of own and assemble the matrix when it needs to, and just a simple time for the diffusion problem.
Yeah.
And probably the next target is finding out where SoML is up to and hooking that and then turning it into a monad domain.
So how long do you think assembling the matrix, dealing with that issue?
About a week, so long enough for that.
Okay. So we should be able to, by this time next week, have done the comparison around space, not on the penalty of having to reassemble every time.
Yep.
So you could do so, and you could then have a SoML model, have a CMS example which runs under CM and under LibMesh.
I think we were going to put them in different example numbers, but this was probably the easiest thing to do.
At the end of the tree, right? The end of the, okay, you go down the...
Sure, put it beside one that does it the same, I guess. Yeah.
Actually, adjusting our example structure to put an example in there to compile bits of LibMesh and stuff like that, that's actually going to take longer than actually
doing the job.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it, yeah. Probably just invite, make, run.
So, we're saying...
It was just starting to build out that testing environment where you want to make sure you can put different leading examples in there and the umpires. And then if you try and make that work across different platforms and different sorts of things and stuff to get complicated, but maybe you just do one to start with and worry about some of the other things. You kind of can do those things at the same time as making real progress, it's also the structural progress alongside it.
It sounds like you're quite keen to put examples in sort of as soon as possible, but suggesting that can be done alongside the salmonella and the rest of
it doesn't seem, I mean, as you say, you could write a make and different things. If you could spend ages tidying it up and make sure it works everywhere and everything right, but I think if you just added one version for...
Well, get something that works.
For x86-64 and stick it in and put the thing in, and that one version could then start being there and running.
Yeah.
And then, you could call that temporary until we get...
The other thing that was sort of interesting I discovered recently was the PETC people have no intention of putting OpenMP support into PETC in the near future. They don't see it as the right programming model for platforms they do. So that would make packages that try to use threads and processes on top of PETC sort of limited in their ability to actually make much use of the threads.
Threads on them?
No.
They just don't use threads at all.
That's right, yeah.
They don't use threads at all.
That's right. There was something there to try and help with the assembly, I think, but they acknowledged that it was limited in its usefulness. Because if you've gone and picked a number of processes for your solver, and then you're going to be using similar number of processes for your assembly, so that your arrays are distributed appropriately, and so it's hard for them to multiply one process by 8 threads and actually make use of any processing.
What was that again? So you're using a different number of processors for assembly than you would be for...
Well, that's what I'm saying you can't really do.
Why would you want to do that?
For assembly it looks easy enough to split, say for our system, 8 processors, each with 8 threads. But if we set up like that, then our solver's only going to use 8 processes, and there's going to be 7 processors on each machine doing nothing. So what we do is set up a problem of 64 processes, and then there's no point having more threads.
So on a new machine.
Yeah.
Why would the solver only use one processor? Of the 8. Is that what you're saying?
if we were trying to use 8 processors, each with 8 threads,
okay,
then PETC is not thread safe, so it could only be called from one thread. So what we'd end up doing is actually having 8 processors on each machine, so 64 processors in total.
Most people use the paradigm is use use MPI to create a distributed problem and then use threads to just speed up the loops.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to use your multiple threads to increase the number of subdomains.
Yes. So
that's probably why.
But we could only speed up the loops in our assembly, and in doing that we'd be restricting the number of processes we could put on solving. So we make a gain in one area but restrict it too much in another area.
But this is just for one machine that we're talking about, other machines. Maybe more machines have, I would trust their choice. I wouldn't think it would limit too much in general.
You'd trust the choices to go with the multi-process model rather than the multi-thread model, is that
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It must simplify the whole thinking about it, right?
It actually makes it a whole lot easier not to have to worry about what else is accessing the station at the same time. In some respects.
Sure. I mean, using the protocol of API to sort that out. The biggest penalty here is that we need 8 copies of our mesh for 8 threads on 8 on one node.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to parallelize our mesh as well.
Do you know how often people, I know we looked at so many different packages, but how often do people have parallel redone of a mesh? Is it a common thing in lib meshes? It's just hasn't gone to that yet, or is it more common to have one processor read in the mesh and distribute it?
Life B that I looked at, it only got as far as a parallel solver state, and then we've got parallel assembly. Sundance looked like it had some capability to actually have different parts of the mesh. It
seemed to, because it seemed to scale down.
Okay.
Kind of run out of things to say.